And we'll read from verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Amen. Now, one of the joys of our church over the last few years has been the number of newborn babies that have been born in our church family. There seems to be a whole lot, and we see and we hear them around, and there'll be some more born in the new year as well. And usually the birth announcements these days are made by text message, so I get these as pastor of the church. Every so often I'll get a message like this, baby boy born at 2:16 a.m., and it'll give us the weight. Mum and son doing great, and we know that's not true. We feel for the mother and all that she's been through. That's the standard kind of text message you get in our church family ever so often, announcing the birth of a baby. But imagine if I received a message that added a little bit more into it. It added these words. He will be a concert pianist, best-selling author, and Nobel Peace Prize winner. If you received a message at that, you'd probably laugh. You'd probably think it's extremely odd, because when you get a birth announcement, what it doesn't include is the accomplishments that this child is going to do in their lifetime, who they are going to be and what they are going to do. Because at that stage, when a child has just been born, there are no accomplishments to list, except they sleep a lot, they feed a lot, and they fill their nappy a lot. That's all you can really say at that stage. What I've just read here from Isaiah 9 is a birth announcement. But it's a birth announcement that's so different from any that we would receive today or any that we would send. The first thing that makes it so different is this birth announcement actually came approximately 700 years before the baby was born. It's a prophecy of what's going to happen in the future. It's a prophecy that was given to Isaiah. We thought a lot about this last week as we started the series. And Isaiah was given a message of hope in dark days. The country was in a mess. But he's given this message of hope that there's a coming Savior. There's a child who's going to be born who's going to deliver his people. And this coming child is given four incredible descriptions, a bit like this text message here. It tells us what this child is going to be and what this child is going to do as well. He's described as four things that we're going to look at over these 4 weeks on our build-up to Christmas. We thought last week about Wonderful Counselor. Today we're going to think about Mighty God. Next week, the Everlasting Father. And then the final week, the Prince of Peace. We want to think about these titles. We want to think about these accomplishments of Christ, who he is, what he did, to help us prepare spiritually as we build up to Christmas. So let's think about the one for this week. Jesus Christ is the Mighty God. Let's start by focusing on the key word out of those two. And the key word is the word God. You see, the Christmas story is not just a cute little story. A cute little story about a baby who's born in unusual circumstances, you know, laying in a manger in a stable. No, the real miracle of Christmas, the real reason that we should be celebrating, is the incarnation. The incarnation is this incredible miracle that God came into our world and became a man. The word Emmanuel that we often use at Christmas, God with us. That is the incarnation, God with us, God in human flesh. Now, this is the season of nativity plays. Actually, this time next week, there'll be a little nativity play here on the platform. And often when you go to a nativity play, maybe you see a child or a grandchild, they can be remembered for all the wrong reasons. So as I look back on our children's nativity plays in school, the one that always stands out is Josie's in primary 3, not because of anything she did, but when she was performing on stage, the girl beside her fell off the stage. I don't think Josie pushed her. That's the story she's given anyway. But often these nativity plays can be remembered for all the wrong reasons. And once in a nativity play, these boys came on the stage dressed up as the wise men. They had their dressing gowns on and their tinfoil crowns, and they walked on to present their presents to baby Jesus. And as one little boy came out to deliver his present and deliver his key line, his sentence in the play, he looked at all the parents. He looked at a crowd just like this, and he got stage fright. And his mind went blank. And he couldn't remember that line that he had spent weeks and weeks and weeks rehearsing. And so he stood there, in the awkward silence with his gift. And his teacher on the sideline started to panic. And she even forgot the line that he was meant to say. And so she whispered in a loud voice, "Say something." And so the little boy opened his mouth and nothing came out. And so the teacher started to panic a bit more. How is the play going to continue? And so she whispered again loudly, "Say anything." And so the boy looked down at the little plastic baby in Mary's arms, handed over the present and said, "Ah, he looks just like his dad." And the nativity play was remembered for all the wrong reasons, but another great biblical theological truth was shared. He's just like his dad. Because that is who Jesus Christ is. He is like his heavenly father. Why is he just like his father? Because Jesus Christ is God himself. He's not a human baby born in unusual circumstances. This is God. This is the second person of the Trinity, God himself in human flesh. Now, the birth of a baby is always special. When I receive a text message to say a baby has been born, it's a great message to receive. It's a message that puts a smile on your face. But what makes the Christmas story extra special? What makes the birth of this baby extra special is this is no ordinary baby. Jesus is God, God the Son, the second person of the Trinity, born in human flesh. And why did it happen? Why did Jesus Christ come? Well, Jesus Christ told himself the reason why he came. And so when he lived here on earth, we read about in Luke 19, he gives the reason. And he tells us that he came to seek and to save the lost. That's why God came in human flesh. Because people like us, humans, we had rebelled against God. We had wandered off. We had done our own thing. We were separated from God. And Jesus Christ came, God himself came to rescue us, to bring us back to the Father. We've been singing Christmas songs this morning. One of the songs I like singing at Christmas, it's a modern Christmas song, is the song entitled, "Who Would Have Dreamed?" And one of the verses in that song says these words, "And who would have dreamed or ever foreseen that we could hold God in our hands? The giver of life is born in the night, revealing God's glorious plan to save the world." And that is a credible thing, because Mary could hold God in her hands. God had come in the limit of human flesh. Why? To save the world through what he would do through his life, his death, his resurrection, and the salvation that he offers to all who would trust in him. This is the incredible miracle that we want to celebrate about Christmas. It's the incarnation, God becoming human flesh. And how is it possible? How is it possible that God could become a human? Well, the answer to that is the virgin birth. That's why the virgin birth is so crucial to the Christmas story. Back to Isaiah 7 that I quoted last week as well. Isaiah 7 had prophesied this 700 years before it happened. "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." And so this child will be conceived not in the natural way of things, but in a supernatural way that a virgin would conceive. And that was totally necessary for our salvation. Because let's think about what the problem was here on planet Earth. Humans, people like us, we had rebelled against God. We had done our own thing. We had sinned against the holy God. And because we had sinned, it's humans who must make restitution. It's people like us who must put right what has been made wrong. But here's the problem. Here's the dilemma. We're not able to do it. We can't appease the wrath and the standards of a holy God. Humans can't put right the mess that we've made. And so Jesus Christ came that first Christmas, conceived by the Holy Spirit, by God, born of a woman. And so he was born, he was fully God and fully human at the same time. And he came as God to deal with our human sin. And so Jesus was born in Bethlehem. He grew up to be a man who lived here on this earth as a human, but he lived the life that we could never live. Sinless, spotless, fully satisfying the demands of a holy God. And then he went to a cross and he died a death that we deserved. That we deserved for the wrong that we had done against God. And this is the miracle of Christmas. That God became a human to die in the place of humans just like us. Take our punishment. Now, why would the God of the universe become a helpless baby that you could hold in your arms? Why would he be born in a stable? Why would he go to be nailed to a cross and die a horrible death there in our place? Why would he do it? There only is one answer. And the only reason he would do it, the only motivation, is love. Love for people like us who don't deserve it. We deserve judgment. We deserve punishment. And yet, in love, God came in human flesh. You see, the Christmas story is a great story. It's actually part of the greatest love story in the history of our world. That with a motivation of love, God would come to this world to save and rescue us. Jesus is God, but as the description in Isaiah says, he is the mighty God. We have a baby lying in a manger, and as you look at a baby lying in a manger, he looks pretty helpless. He looks pretty hopeless. Totally dependent on his mother for food, for care, even to be lifted and moved. And actually, the baby there is the mighty God. This is the mighty God who put the stars into place. It's an incredible thing who this baby is. Now, the word mighty here in the verse, mighty God, refers to somebody who is strong and powerful. The image this word has in the Old Testament is a warrior. Somebody who is strong, somebody who is mighty, somebody who is undefeated because they are a mighty warrior, somebody who nobody else is able to stop. That's who Jesus Christ is. That's who this baby born the first Christmas is. He is a mighty warrior. He is the God who comes to fight for us. Now, last week we thought about Jesus as a wonderful counselor. That's what Isaiah said. Now, what was the evidence in Jesus' life that he was a wonderful counselor? Well, the evidence of that was his teaching ministry. And so people heard the words that he said, and the crowd responded and said, no one ever spoke like this. Why? Because the words that came out of his mouth were wonderful, supernatural words, because he's the wonderful counselor. Jesus here is described as the mighty God, somebody who's strong and powerful and nobody's able to stop. What is the evidence from the life of Jesus Christ that he is the mighty God? Well, the evidence of that were the miracles that he did here on earth. If you go into John's Gospel, which is something we're going to be looking at in January and in Sunday evenings, we're going to look at the miracles of Jesus in John's Gospel. And there they're described as signs. They act like a signpost. And the purpose of a signpost is to point you in the right direction. And what do the signs in John's Gospel, these miracles, do? They point you to exactly who Jesus is. Jesus is the mighty God. And so that's why at the end of John's Gospel in John 20, it tells us why all these signs are recorded, so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. They point us in the right direction. And so Jesus did incredible miracles. He gives sight to the blind. He enabled the lame to be able to walk. He asked the dead to come out of their tombs alive, and it happened. He walked on the waves, and he calmed the storm. And all these incredible signs are testimony to a great truth. Jesus Christ is the mighty God. And the greatest sign, the greatest testimony that Jesus Christ is the mighty God, that he's all-powerful, that nothing in this world can stop him, is his own resurrection when he rose again from the dead. Not even the tomb itself could hold Jesus back. Jesus is the mighty God. Now, the name Jesus has an important meaning, as in biblical times, as you probably know, names have real importance. The name Jesus means God saves. That's an appropriate name for the Son of God. God saves. Because only he is mighty enough to save us, to rescue us, to deliver us from the judgment that we deserve. He's the mighty God. And as we follow the story of Jesus throughout the Bible, we come to the last book, which is Revelation. Revelation is another prophecy, a bit like Isaiah. Isaiah is a prophecy for his first coming. And then as we go to Revelation, we get a prophecy of what's going to happen when Jesus comes again. And what's one of the pictures of Jesus in Revelation? It's the picture of a mighty warrior. A mighty warrior coming. And we read this incredible description in Revelation 19 of a mighty warrior who comes at the end of life here on earth to defeat sin and evil and death itself. Let me read a description, and we get this image of the mighty warrior God. Revelation 19, verse 11 says, "Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True. In righteousness he judges and makes wars. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. The armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so you've got this image of a warrior coming on a horse, coming with a sword to do justice. That's who this little baby is. He is the mighty God. Larry King was a very famous American chat show host, regarded by many as the greatest chat show host in America. And he interviewed a lot of famous people, the movie stars, pop stars, politicians, celebrities of the day. He was once interviewed himself, and the interviewer asked him, if you could interview anybody, who would you choose? Anybody across the scope of history, who would you like to interview? Larry King's reply was interesting. He said, I'd like to interview Jesus Christ. And then he was asked, if you could ask Jesus Christ one question, what would you ask him? Larry King said, I would ask him, was he indeed born of a virgin? The answer to that question would define world history. That's what he wanted to know. Was Jesus Christ really born of a virgin? Because the answer to that would define history. Why do you want to know that? Why was that such a key question? Well, a virgin birth makes Jesus unique. It makes him supernatural. It makes him God, conceived by the Holy Spirit, come into this world. If he wasn't born by virgin birth, well, he was just an ordinary human like the rest of us. And so really the crux of that is he wants to know, was Jesus Christ really who he claimed to be? Was Jesus Christ, is Jesus Christ God? You see, if Jesus Christ is just like us, born in the same way, well, we could admire him, we can respect the things that he taught, but that's it. He's a good man, he's a good teacher, but not much else. But if he was born of a virgin, he must be God. And if Jesus Christ really is the mighty God, that changes everything. As Larry King said, that would define world history. It changes how we would celebrate Christmas. For most people, Christmas is a time with family. It's a time to give and receive gifts, and that's good. It's a great thing. It's a thing that we all look forward to, but it's not much else for most people. There's no real thought of the incredible miracle of the incarnation, of God becoming a human. God becoming a human with one aim of rescuing people like us. And if Jesus isn't the mighty God, let's stop pretending. Let's stop singing these songs to him. Let's go on and do something else. He's just an ordinary man. But if Jesus Christ really is the mighty God, that changes everything. It changes Christmas. Christmas should be a time of praise and worship and of thanksgiving that God would become a man to come and rescue us. If Jesus Christ really is the mighty God, it should change all of our lives. The way we live our lives, what we give the devotion and the focus of our lives over to. You see, we cannot save ourselves. We cannot save ourselves from the wrong that we have done, the judgment we deserve from a holy God. We cannot save ourselves. But what does Christmas remind us? The Savior has already come. The mighty God has come to save and rescue us. Christmas reminds us that there is no other deliverer coming. There's nobody else coming to rescue us. So stop looking in other places. Stop looking in other places to find what your heart has been longing for. And if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've never put your faith in the one who really is the mighty God, you need to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You need to put your faith and trust in the one who is the mighty God. You need to put your faith and trust in what he accomplished by his coming, by his spotless life, by his death, and by his resurrection as well. And this Christmas, what you need to discover is the incredible change that comes from knowing the mighty God, Jesus Christ, as your Savior. Maybe you're here this morning, you've never done that. Christmas doesn't have the real joy and significance that it should have because the mighty God isn't your Lord and Savior. And so this morning you need to do something about that. Maybe you're still a little bit confused. Maybe you've still got some spiritual questions. Why don't you come and chat to me afterwards? Come and speak to me about spiritual things because it's so important that this changes everything. that Jesus Christ is your, the mighty God is your Savior. But the truth that Jesus Christ is the mighty God changes things on a daily basis for ordinary, everyday Christians, like many of the people sitting here this morning. I'm going to let you into a secret. I'm going to let you into a secret that you already probably know. In many aspects of my life, I am weak. In many aspects of my life, I am a failure. I'm weak in many ways. I'm weak in the face of temptation that comes on a daily basis. Temptation that wants to steer me away from Christian living. Steer me away from the truths that are taught in the Bible. I lack the strength for daily Christian living, for living a godly life. I'm riddled with doubts and fears, as many of us are, of the questions of life. There's times that I'm physically weak as well. It probably describes all of us if we're honest with ourselves as believers. Our lives are not, our Christian lives are not what we would love them to be. We feel weak, we feel frail, and we feel insignificant. We feel failures so often. And because we are weak, what we don't need is a weak, ineffectual God. No, we need a God who can help us. We need a God who can strengthen us. We need a God who is mightier than all. We need a God who nothing is impossible with. We need a God who can empower us with his strength and with his Holy Spirit as well. That's what we need for daily Christian living. We need a mighty God. We need a God who's strong and mighty and nothing can stop him. We need a mighty warrior. We need Jesus Christ to help us. We need Jesus Christ to strengthen us, to protect us, to fight for us, and to go before us. And one day, ultimately, will take us safely to heaven. Here's the good news of Christmas. Here's the good news of Christmas that changes everything. That's exactly who we have. That's who came into the world the first Christmas, the mighty God. And that changes everything if we can grasp and believe and trust that truth, that our Savior isn't weak, isn't ineffectual, but instead he is the mighty God. I think what we often do is we make our God too small. We take our God and we put him in a box, the limit of our understanding. But our God is not limited to our understanding. Our God, our Savior, Jesus Christ, is the mighty God. So let me ask you this morning, you can answer this in your own head, what are you facing today? What are the issues in your life? What are the battles? What are the struggles? What are you wrestling with? Maybe personal things or family things or work-related things. What are the issues in your life? And there'll be different answers and there'll be different responses, personal responses, with everybody sitting here this morning if you're a believer. Whatever the answer is in your head to those questions, what you're dealing with in your life, you need to realize that you are not alone as you do that. See, Christmas reminds us that our God, our Savior, is the mighty God. He is the strong one who is able to uphold us, who is able to carry us, who's able to help us, who's able to protect us, who's able to give us wisdom. There is nothing that can stop him, and there is nothing in this world or nobody in this world who is stronger than our Savior, Jesus Christ. And because Jesus Christ, the one who came in love to save us, his love didn't stop when he came. His love didn't stop on the cross. His love for his children continues. He is still our mighty God who wants the best for his children. Because he's the mighty God, we need to look to him. We need to look to his strength and his protection and his help on a daily basis. We need to bring to him our troubles and our worries and our anxieties and our cares. Bring them to one who can do something about them because he is the mighty God. And he is the one we need to put our trust in on a daily basis. We are weak, we are ineffectual, but he indeed is the mighty God. Let's put our hope, let's put our faith, let's put our trust in Jesus Christ. Let's pray as we think about these great truths. Dear Father, we thank you for this wonderful passage from Isaiah. We thank you for these truths that remind us exactly who Jesus is.